It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council Studio. Let's head up to Northwest Minnesota. Angie Pelletier has been one of the busiest extension agents here for the last couple of weeks, but you finally got a short break so you can come on the radio.
That's right, Mick. Oh, I'm glad to hear your voice.
Hey, likewise. So you guys have had a tough go of it. Topsoil moisture-wise, rain, storms, thunder, and lightning, and crop damage starting last year. Has it finally straightened out a little bit?
Well, I tell you what, the problems we're dealing with now either started last fall or started this spring with just those torrential rains. You're exactly right. I mean, just rain after rain after rain. You could watch each system come through and it would just train over an area of northwestern Minnesota, dumping inches at a time. So we did get a little bit more rain this past weekend, and I know, especially with the way that some of the root systems have developed with the abundance of rain earlier in the season, some people could have actually used that rain this time around. So that was a positive for some of us.
Yeah, Mother Nature's never evenly distributing things, either too much or too little.
She's a fickle woman.
For sure. But the combines are rolling. What kind of reports are you getting?
I texted around this morning because I knew you were going to ask that very thing. I have seen the combines rolling, and I do not have a yield report for you. The one thing I do know is that most people were thinking that there was going to be an average to slightly below average yield just based on the year. You know, warm, humid, wet weather is not exactly conducive for top yields when it comes to small grains. So that's what folks were expecting. I know that some folks a little bit further north got, you know, an inch and a half of rain or an inch. So they were getting really close to harvest and probably had to put off harvest for just a little bit longer than they would have wanted to. So, again, Mother Nature throwing that monkey wrench into the system.
Yeah. How about scab or other leaf diseases in the small grains?
So that's one thing that we were looking at quite a bit of while filming for our Crops and Soils Day at the Northwest Research and Outreach Center recently. We were looking at small grains, leaf diseases. I know that there were reports of bacterial leaf streak, for sure. Some varied reports of other things. I know that Yoakum Wiersma was worried about Fusarium head scab, head blight risk, just because of how wet we were, and then also just because of how much remaining corn residue there was left over from 2019. I mean, usually we'd like to get that corn harvested and you know, the ground tilled before the you know, snow flew, but that wasn't the case this past year, and some people weren't even able to get off their corn until late this spring, if not early summer. And so what happens with this particular disease, Fusarium head blight, is the fungal pathogen also can infect corn. And as you can imagine, corn has a lot of crop residue and a lot of area for that fungus to kind of hang around in the old crop, and so that was a worry too. I haven't heard anything about head blight issues as of yet in quality coming in off the combine.
Okay, all righty. The row crops, let's start with sugar beets. They're kind of doing, I see on Twitter or other social media, most of the producers are pretty happy with what they've got this year.
I think it's either hit or miss, you know, and it really depends on where that water sat in your field. I know that people are either immensely happy or, you know, are a little bit disappointed. I know that especially in those counties that border our northern neighbor there, Canada, Kitson and Roseau County, there are areas there where they just got so much rain that there are large areas of whichever crop people planted that were underwater. So in some of those areas, people were saying, you know, up to 20% of the crop could have been zero as far as yield is concerned, zeroed out. Where there's crop left, people are pretty darn happy. I know that they're going to be starting pre-pile here soon. When do they start that, Mick?
It is the 26th or something like that. It's the week of the last week of August. I can't remember the 26th, 27th, okay. Something like that.
So, we're just starting to see, I mean, all those rows were closing. I know that people were starting to spray pretty regularly for Cercospora, a perennial problem in sugar beets. But I think that the people that did have a crop were feeling pretty good about it.
Excellent. All right. Now, I saved the best for last because I see the baton has kind of been handed to you in the soybean cyst nematode department. You're kind of are you the spearhead leader for the SCN testing and the numbers and the maps and all that?
Well, I don't have a project anymore. sorry to disappoint you.
Oh, that's right. Somebody told me you were.
Nick,
so.
But no, I'm not doing that. I do have an interest in it, and I do think it continues to be our number one yield-limiting pathogen in soybeans. And so it's definitely something I would encourage people to include SCN testing. So you need to know your numbers to know how well you're doing at managing SCN. So these little nematodes, these little worms hang out in the soil, and they're just waiting there to basically suck the lifeblood out of your plants and reduce your yield and also cause problems during, especially when we have drought years or water stress of some kind. Then you can start to see above ground symptoms. Otherwise, they're just kind of hidden yield robbers. And so it's really important to sample periodically the number one, to know whether or not you have it in your field, and then two, so you can start to actively manage it through variety selection and crop rotation.
Sam Markell encourages farmers to, you know, don't do the sample that you take in the middle of the row or in the you know, gap between. Do it right under the roots. That's a good idea, isn't it?
That's a very good idea, because that's where they will be. You will actually be more likely to hit cysts, so the cysts are pretty darn small. You won't be able to see them with the naked eye, most likely, at this point in the growing season, but that's where they will be, is in those roots. And so what we would recommend is kind of going at a slant. Do so, you know, you might have already cut your soybeans with harvest, but before you do any kind of tillage, make sure you go in there and collect multiple subsamples from within your field, so soil cores, within the soybean row, trying to get some of those soybean roots, you know, break up the soil clods and create a composite sample that you can then send in to your favorite soil testing lab for analysis.
Gotcha. All righty. Good things to do this fall, and hopefully this fall will be a lot friendlier than last fall. We'll get our corn, sugar beets, soybeans, everything harvested before it snows in November instead of October this year.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I'll
cross my fingers and hope for the best.
With all the crap that 2020 has given us, I think it's all used up. Maybe we're going to have a nice fall. I kind of think so. So we will see. So
I hope so.
All right. Angie, any surprising research that you're doing this summer?
There's a lot of awesome research that's happening at the Northwestern Research and Outreach Center. If somebody wanted to check out what we're doing, all you have to do is type UMN and then NWROC into any search engine, and there'll be 11 brand new videos there for you to take a look at. Every single one of them is about 2 minutes to 7 minutes long, so you can just kind of get a flavor of what we're up to this summer. There's amazing research happening at the research center still.
Wonderful. All right. Well, that's the work that you do. So thank you very much for that. Thanks for the visit. Have a good rest of the week and a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye, Nick.
Bye now. Angie Peltier, Northwest Regional Outreach Center, Research Outreach Center out there at the U of M in Crookston.